Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
This is the ZabeCast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. Tuesday, February 10, 2026. Welcome aboard and welcome to 201 days until week zero in college football. Don't worry, college basketball is about to take center stage. There's a number of compelling storylines and some damn good teams. Many people think that Arizona, currently 23-0, is unbeatable. Charles Barkley has already said the tournament's going to become the Wildcat Invitational. Well, we'll see about that. And of course, you can join me in Vegas with a cast of characters and family members here from the ZabeCast for Zabe Vegas 2026. It'll be at the MGM Grand, Sweet 16 weekend, the 26th and 27th, Thursday and Friday. Papa Shot contest, commemorative hats, a trip to the Vegas sign for a group photo, and then up to the top of Mandalay Bay for some cocktails. It's going to be a great time. If you want more information on what it is, how much it costs, drop me a line at zabe@yahoo.com, and I will send you all the deets. So today we got Matt Miller, a man about film, on the Super Bowl ads that he thought were hits versus misses, and a snippet of a great weekly road game podcast I do with Scott and Solly on Patreon that you might have missed. But first, let's talk Lindsey Vonn. What a brutal, brutal scene it was when she wiped out 13 seconds into what I was certain was going to be her finest moment. I did not commit to waking up at O Dark 30 on a Sunday morning, on Super Bowl Sunday, just to watch her do the downhill. I knew it was on at 5:30. I'm like, I really figured I'd wake up, grab my phone, and then see that she had won. Because that's how much I believe in and adore Lindsey Vonn as the great American blonde badass that she is. But instead, I was greeted to the news that she had indeed wrecked. Now, it was hard to find the highlight right away because the Olympics, the five rings mafia, they keep a tight wrap on all of their highlights. So anyone posting anything gets shot down bang like that. So I had to go digging for it just a bit. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh, geez. Here's what it sounded like in case you have not seen it by now. And you honestly should have seen it by now.
Come on!
Lindsey Vonn pulls out of the gate in hopes of more Olympic glory.
I just know after the years of watching her, she will ski at her limit. The tone is set right here.
Oh, my goodness, no!
Oh, 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 my goodness.
This crowd
is just absolutely silent. And as you said, Pino, if you know Lindsey Vonn, you know there was nothing but 100% send on race day.
Wow, chilling stuff right there, and a great call from Dan Hicks of NBC. And of course, someone down at the base of the run didn't have the good sense to, hey, turn that music off. Jesus, God, turn it off. But that was something stunning to see. Now look, I love this woman. I think she's amazing. I think she's beautiful. She is the absolute epitome of alpha female athlete. That said, what she was doing was insane. It was stupid. It was selfish. It was reckless. And could have got her killed. Then again, it's her life. So who am I or anyone else to judge? That said, she took a spot from another healthy U.S. skier. A skier who might have had their only shot at competing in the Olympics because every team only has so many slots. Then again, it's Lindsey fucking Vonn. You gonna tell her no? You gonna say, yeah, I know you really want to do this, but you can't because we got some scrub who wants to finish in 17th place? Huh, good luck on that. Especially after all that she has done for the popularity of women's skiing. That said, you know, she put her family and friends through all kinds of agony. They're the ones who aren't competing. They're the ones who just want you to be okay and safe. They love you for who you are and not just how well you can ski. I mean, making them watch you wipe out like a beginner and then hear those cries of pain and help. I couldn't really tell what she was saying, but still. Then again, she was pretty fast on her two training runs. So who knows what might have really happened that caused her to crash. It's a conflict for sure, but I'm okay with it. That said, somebody tweeted, quote, Lindsey Vonn is 41 years old, not married, no kids. So of course she was gonna ski. Her career is all she has. And now it is over. Womp, womp. Now that's a bit harsh. It's a bit harsh. But there's some truth in there. Can't deny it. Somebody else said, I really wish we had a chance to see what kind of nuclear tough athlete babies Tiger and Lindsey could have made together. Yeah, no kidding. Tiger Woods winning the U.S. Open on a fractured tibia. And Lindsey Vonn almost pulling off competing in the downhill, or at least she did for 13 seconds. Or, by the way, P.K. Subban, who she was dating for a good spell there. They would have made absolutely beautiful, tough athlete babies. Watching her in the starting gate, I felt she was clearly sweating bullets because she knew what she was about to try to do. I watched these skiers in that moment, and it's a great scene. Great job by television to get the camera right in there. You can see their faces. You can hear them breathing and just watch the way they're getting psyched up. And of course, all the skiers get hyped up to a certain degree, but she looked especially nervous to me because I think she knew. This ain't practice, right, Allen Iverson? We talking about practice. This was the real deal. This is it. Balls to the wall, or, well, ovaries to the ice, I guess. Gung-ho, one shot, press the edges to the limit. That is the sport. That's it. That's the sport of downhill. And I think she knew it was going to be different. Damn. I do wish her a speedy recovery, and I hope she finds happiness, whether she's going to be single or married or with kids or no kids. You know, it's not too late. And I'm sure she'll be a relevant face on the sports and fitness and endorsing landscape for many years to come. But now, because many people have asked the essential question of, so do we really need ACLs all along, or is this just one more scam that Big Ortho has been pushing on us all this time? It is my pleasure to welcome onto the show survivor of Northern Scotland Golf Trip 2025, an orthopedic surgeon to the stars and the everyday Joes, and the dapper handicap of a 5 handicap in Brian Cook. Dr. Cook of Nashville, Tennessee is here to give us more on ACLs. Doctor, how we doing tonight, my friend?
Doing great, Zabe. How about you?
Doing good. The lack of broken bones or twisted up knees never seems to end at your hospital in Nashville, right? You're still in plenty of business. Sadly, still in plenty of business.
It's great job security, Zabe. People never quit getting old or getting hurt. So yeah.
Doesn't take an Olympic champion to really push the limits of, I'm not sure you should do that to keep orthopedic surgeons in business, but Lindsey Vonn is definitely doing that. There's new information that came out just before we hit record on this, and Lindsey Vonn said Monday in a post to Instagram that she suffered a complex tibia fracture that will require multiple surgeries to fix properly. She then insisted, "I was simply 5 inches too tight on my line when my right arm hooked inside the gate, twisting me and resulting in my crash. My ACL, or lack thereof, and past injuries, the right knee, had nothing," she says, "to do with my crash whatsoever." With all due respect, I can only reply with, "Sure, Jan." I mean, why do you, I guess this is the athlete in her, right? That she doesn't want to deal with people second guessing. And maybe in her mind, she believes that's the case, but I've shared with you and I've seen now multiple video analysis of former champion downhill skiers saying, yeah, you can see it here, you can see it there, she can't do this here. And that's where she got in trouble. Now, I don't know when the last time you skied was, Doctor. I skied many years ago, so I don't know if I can speak credibly on this. But watching the videos and knowing they're coming from fellow skiers and knowing that a torn ACL, completely torn, is a pretty serious injury, I'm calling BS on this. With all due respect, because I love Lindsey Vonn. I do love her. But let's talk about the full nature of the injury. How bad is this?
The ACL injury leading up to it or the subsequent injury?
No, the subsequent, because you told me in a text that her ACL is now bottom of the list of worries.
Correct.
We got to get this, she's got it, and the doctor's got to get this thing under control. So tell me what you think here with this tibia, complex tibia fracture.
Yeah, well, most of us with this are kind of always left in the dark. They tend to leave out specifics on a lot of these injuries. The information I have, this is really speculation.
Speculative. You don't treat her. You have no privy knowledge of her conditions, but you're allowed to guess.
No one's put out any details of the surgery or the x-rays, but my guess from that injury, because when I saw her go down in the video, it didn't look as though her tibial shaft was, like, her leg wasn't flopping around in that sense, and with her boot it wouldn't have been a one down by her ankle, so
right.
I suspect that she had what's called a tibial plateau fracture, which means a broken tibia, the shin bone up at the knee where the knee kind of forms like a plateau, and I'm guessing that that's what she had. And so my guess is that her first surgery was that kind of stabilization of that. They put on what's called an external fixator, couple pins into the tibia, a couple into the femur, and they put some bars across it to kind of span it out to length. The concern that, which is very common for a bad injury to the knee before you're going to do definitive treatment, which would ultimately be plates and screws and that type of thing. But this whole second surgery thing has a concern, because if indeed that was her first injury, my concern would be that she was developing a condition called a compartment syndrome, which is basically when you get so much swelling and the lower leg is probably the most vulnerable area to get that. You get so much swelling into the muscles that that fascial covering it's just too tight, and it would cut off the blood supply and the nerve supply to the muscles if you didn't release it. So I'm guessing in that second surgery was that they saw this as something that was happening, and they took her back to do what's called a fasciotomy, which is where you're making long incisions up and down the lower leg to let that muscle kind of pooch out.
Your leg open to let the inflammation and I guess pus and ooze just sort of bleed out.
Well, hopefully not bleed out with it, but yeah, think of it like the button on your pants at Thanksgiving dinner. You know, you just
undo it.
Boom.
Okay,
you got to let it open. So, but the problem is, then you have to leave those. I mean, you can't just close the skin on that typically if that's what you had. So then that's going to require subsequent surgeries just for that aspect alone, if that's what you had, to either hopefully get it to where they can close the skin. But sometimes that's when people need either, you know, flap coverage, skin grafts. There can be nerve damage. I mean, the potential downstream effects of that's my, when I heard about that second surgery today, that was my biggest concern. But then again, I do not know.
Yeah.
I don't have any inside information as far as what it is she actually did.
I would imagine that when you have compartment syndrome, if you got to cut open your leg, it is an absolute playground for potential infection.
Yeah, I mean, like kind of said to you, like, I mean, this was, now Alex Smith was more of his distal tibia, but it's a very, although I don't know if he had a compartment, but he had those open wounds, those infections, the flaps, had his foot drop. And
yeah, Tiger Woods' leg was a complete mess, Alex Smith.
And Tiger Woods was a different injury, but similar, because I think he had also ended up getting that compartment syndrome, and he had a foot drop for a while, and his leg was just never right. I mean, this is clearly a career-ending injury for her. Hopefully her leg is okay. But yeah, the ACL currently is way down the list of concerns for her.
I mean, is it possible that she'll never walk quite right again?
Possible, yes. The best case scenario is that, you know, her soft tissues will calm down and heal, not get infected. She can get definitive treatment for that, you know, whatever that her complex fracture is, and hopefully then not develop a subsequent, you know, an arthritic knee. But I'm guessing, because even looking back through her history, she's had the surgery on this knee as well in the past. You know, they've talked about her other one and the knee replacement, but she's had, you know, when I've looked back through the chronology of her history, fractures of that, she's had an LCL injury and these other cartilage injuries, which when I kind of spoke to you last week about that, I suspect, and it's just my suspicion, that she didn't acutely tear her ACL when she injured it that week before, that this had been going on, because most people don't have it's near impossible to have no swelling in your knee 5 days after ACL tear the first time.
I was going to say, why was there no swelling if she truly tore her ACL? That's usually a major swelling event.
Right, because the reason being is because the ligament is just loaded with blood supply. And what happens when you tear that, people hear that pop, and the blood vessels in that ligament just bleed. Oof. And so your knee gets massively filled with blood. And I mean, Zabe, I've been doing all that. Now, granted, I'm not taking care of Olympic caliber athletes. I'm taking care of the high school athletes around here. But I've done at least a couple thousand ACL tears over, you know, 20 plus years. I've never seen someone at 5 days have no swelling, ever. Yeah. Yeah. And so that alone makes me think, yeah, her ACL may be completely torn, but it may have been completely torn a month ago, 3 months ago, 6 months ago, because she's attempted to do this. And this is her last run, you know, she knew it was. And so she was going chips all in. And unfortunately, you know, she got hurt badly.
Man, that's just unreal. So people were asking before she crashed, so do we really need ACLs, or is this just big ortho pulling a scam on us?
I love big ortho. We've heard of those things. I've never heard of big ortho, so I guess I'm
you
in
guys
the club.
You're in the club. You're part of the syndicate that is telling us, oh, you tore your ACL, you're going to need to get that repaired. When in reality,
Right. Maybe
we didn't. No, here's an explanation. I think you could be able to hear this, but this was an explanation from a doctor online explaining how the ACL works. You can comment after I play it.
For the second time this week, let's break this down with an intention to raise awareness for ACL injuries. A healthy ACL works as a seatbelt, connecting the thigh bone to the lower leg and stopping the shin here from sliding too far forward. Without it, there's a baseline laxity with no passive restraint, and performance depends entirely on compensation. Early in the run, watch how Vaughn prepares to land. She intentionally takes first contact on that right leg, offloading the injured left knee and buying time for stabilization before full load transfer. This was something she practiced deliberately during trial run. She had also been wearing this bulky brace on that left knee that can add proprioceptive feedback and limit extreme motion, but it can't replace the ACL or control valgus and rotation under peak load. One of the most dangerous left ACL-dependent moments in downhill skiing is when the skier is attempting to turn right. In a right turn, the left knee becomes the outside load-bearing knee. As the ski sets its edge, the knee flexes and begins accepting load. Quadricep force ramps up, and this will drive that tibia shear, normally restrained by the ACL, so hamstrings must fire early, with glutes and proximal hip control managing valgus and rotation as she commits to the turn. As that turn reaches the mid-turn apex, forces peak. She's at maximal lean with the skis fully engaged, the outside leg fully load-bearing, and the knee flexed and stacked under sustained load.
Even a brief delay in hamstring or glute activation shifts load from active control to passive structures. Under sustained edge load, there's no margin to realign.
Okay, I'm starting to get confused right now, but that's the gist of it right there. Like, as I watch the video of this, I'm like, oh, I get it, that the ACL kind of keeps your lower leg from sliding way too much forward from your upper leg, and that you can ski, which she did, and be careful on practice runs, because it's not like basketball or football where you have to stop your whole body short, and then your upper leg is going to start sloshing forward, and you've got no seatbelt with that ACL.
Yep.
Is that basically it, or where am I going wrong?
Yeah, I mean, yes. I mean, the purpose of that ligament is to prevent your knee from doing what, I mean, we kind of refer to as a pivot shift, is that when your foot's planted to have that tibia, which is not only forward, but it's kind of a rotation, because the ligament is kind of a, and it's kind of a diagonal within the knee and prevents this pivoting.
Right.
And I think for, you know, and again, like I said, you know, people have been known to be able to ski at times in the past, and recreational skiers maybe, where they're just kind of cruising down a blue run or something like that. But I think, and you know, the more I thought about it too with that, I mean, because your foot's fixed in the boot, there's not as much torquing, but I would agree, when you're, like he described in that, because I do ski as well, that when you put you're kind of grinding down your left leg, there's a lot of force on that whole limb when you're making that right hand turn. But also it's the jumps. I mean, you look at on that course, I was watching that women's downhill, I mean, with a jump that she did where she got clipped, but they're coming over that jump and they have to make an immediate turn to the right, because those that orange barricade was there. And so, and I mean, and it's this, you know, chaotic event, and they're going 80 miles an hour at times. And this isn't just, you know, Joe skier that's going to take, you know, 30 minutes to get down a run. I mean, this is where the margins at the top of any sport in that are down to hundredths and tenths of a second. And so, you know, you can't. And so I would agree that I think skiing at that level, it would be extremely unlikely to be able to do it successfully at that level to those margins without an ACL. But also, I know there are a lot of folks that think that she should have just tapped out and given it to the alternate of someone else. But I feel like she earned her right to decide if she wanted to go or not. And I mean, obviously the end result, seeing it now, was not great. But this was her last chance, and she wanted to give it a run and didn't turn out.
All right, yeah. So this is what I want to ask you in exiting. Have you ever been a doctor for athletes, professional or amateur?
Yes.
Okay. If you were Lindsey Vonn's primary doctor, the one that she trusts, maybe the one that has already reconstructed her right knee, all right?
Yep.
And she comes to you and says, Doc, I feel really good, though. There's no swelling. It doesn't hurt. I really want to try this. What would you, as a man of medicine and somebody looking at the whole health of the patient and the long life left ahead of her, what would you tell an athlete like that?
Yeah, I think, well, everything, you know, everything we do in life is calculated risk and it's risk reward. And, you know, and so to her, I mean, if this was, you know, someone early on in their career with a, you know, a lot of time, I'd say, this is crazy. Don't do it. You've got, you need to, you know, not risk never being able to ski again and do those things. Now with her, and the analogy I sometimes use, even with patients, and I'll even use with the parents of high school kids, I don't know if it's a good analogy or not, but I kind of do. I say, the way I see it is returning to sport when you're maybe not ready, it's kind of like drinking and driving. Obviously, I mean, I'm 100% opposed to it, but you think about it, like in most situations, you're probably, like in a lot of situations, you're probably going to be okay.
You can get away with drinking and driving, but you're rolling the dice.
Yes, that probably a very likely outcome is that you make it home and you haven't wrecked, you haven't hurt anybody, you haven't killed anybody, but the risk you're putting, you know, and not to other, but you're putting yourself at, you're putting yourself at a lot of risk.
Well,
and is it worth it? And so is it worth it? In most situations, it would not be worth it. In her situation, but I would have a very real conversation with her to say, listen, but even more so, your likelihood of this being successful is incredibly low. But if you're willing to put yourself at that risk, I wouldn't suggest it as a dog, but these people are, They're different than us. I mean, they
look at the world in a way that we can't comprehend.
They are, like you like to say, the apex predators. These people, they don't,
top of the food chain athletes.
Yeah, they don't see risk reward in the same ways that we do and think about that. But yeah, she's particularly now, she's not going to have a good leg and good. I mean, she's got a long road ahead of her to just live a normal lifestyle, let alone. Well, they'll never ski again. So
I hope she comes back strong, at least to not come back, but I hope that she recovers fully and does have a nice, long, healthy life. Thank God it wasn't worse, because look, you throw into that compromised knee on a sharp turn carrying a lot of speed and there's another pop and it goes out completely. And now you've had, and now you experience what I call the video game controller unplugged type situation. Honestly, Doc, she could have gone head first into a catch fence and the outcome could have been a hell of a lot worse, even with a helmet on. So,
you think of a head injury, a spinal cord injury. I mean, any of those things were possibilities, but she was willing to roll the dice. And I understand it. And I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand it.
Do you still ski?
I do. I skied last spring.
Where'd you go?
Tahoe last year.
Where in Tahoe?
We were South Lake Tahoe. Nice. Mainly Heavenly, also a day at Kirkwood. Love that place. One of the most beautiful places on earth.
Yeah. I retired from skiing, Doc. You know why? Because one bad piece of slush, even on a nice green circle run, means my golf season is fucked up. And I only have a dozen or so good golf seasons left in me. So, not going to ski more.
Well, Zabe, you wouldn't believe the number of people, and this would be to anyone who listens at skis, is the number of injuries I've seen, just, you know, the recreational people on the last run of the day. You know, always. They decide because you come down, because you're right, it turns, it gets slushy at the bottom because it gets warm. It's like an ant farm down there, and the number of people that hurt their knee, dislocate their shoulder, do whatever. So it is unbelievable how many people I've seen get hurt on that last run of the day.
Not worth it. Appreciate the consult, Doc, and look forward to playing golf with you this summer. Okay, my friend?
Absolutely, Zabe. Good talking.
I didn't pay attention a lot in science class in high school. No shock there, but I wish I had, at least when it comes to this. When I hit my 30s and 40s, I started to realize, you know, that same diet that would keep me lean, it's not working anymore. I'm soft around the middle. Energy crashes at 2 o'clock became sort of normal. I figured that's not supposed to happen. So I went full hypochondriac, Googling symptoms, low T kept popping up. You know, doctors act like TRT is casual, weekly shots forever. Well, I dug deeper. $3,000 a year to shut down your natural production? Yeah, no, that kind of terrified me. So this new year, I'm turning the clock back with the natural way, with Mars Men. It's a potent stack of ingredients, things I can't even pronounce. Tonget, Ali, Shalgit, Zinc, Boron, and more. All of it optimizes your body's own testosterone production. Same benefits, steady energy, stronger lift, sharp focus, no needles, no synthetics, or shutdown. No dependency either. Just real ingredients supporting stamina and recovery. Made in the USA, third-party tested, and with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Over 91% of guys report higher energy. I've been on it, and honestly, more consistent drive, energy, focus all day long, actually starting to walk more, feeling way better in 2026 than I have in years. Check out the reviews at mengotomars.com and find out more. No risk and a huge upside. That's mengotomars.com and find out the better way to work on your low T.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. All right. I wanted to let you guys know about another podcast I'm on once a week. There are two guys you probably know, Scott Lynn and Steve Solomon. The Lynn Murray Solly podcast, now on Patreon and now with much less Murray, which is good, but they just didn't want to change the name. I'm kidding, by the way. Tim is great, and he gave them their full blessing to keep his name on the show, even though he had said, I don't have time for it anymore. I was there to cut it up this week, as I am every Monday, for publication on Tuesday for about 45 minutes with the boys. And I think you'll like it because I play a slightly different position on the court when I'm with them. I play the shooting guard or off guard position. And so I get to jack up more threes recklessly and say, oops, oh well. Scott brings the ball up the court and keeps us in line for what we're going to talk about. Here's an excerpt about QR codes, telemarketing scams, and or timeshare scams, and why those boys refuse to embrace AI when, thankfully for me, it calmed me the fuck down from being a hypochondriac last weekend. Here's an excerpt, and I urge you to go subscribe and support at any level that you can to the Lynn Murray Solly podcast.
So over the weekend, we got one of those placards. The postcards, the oversized postcards in the mail. Hi, Scott Lynn. And by the way, before you say it's a come on because they want to sell you a timeshare, or they want to sell you a life insurance plan, or they want to do your finances. Hey, Scott Lynn, we're coming to Rockville with one of these travel expos. All you have to do is answer a few questions about a cruise, and you and your wife for the flight will cover it. Cruise will cover it. Zabe, I went right to Reddit, and because now we're smarter with these things, I go, and it says right on it, this is not a financial or fiduciary type institution, we're not selling you a timeshare. They were very upfront to say it. So I still went to Reddit, and I go, in the ones that say we're not selling you a timeshare, but we're offering you a cruise from the Cruise Expo with all expenses paid, including this, the first couple are like, you're right, it's not. But the pressure is so great to buy stuff. And at the end, after you say no to 20 different levels of people about no thank you, no thank you, no thank you, they do give you the stuff that they promised you. However, the fees equal what you would have paid for this vacation anyway. I'm like, Sohn, and she throws it in the trash. Done and done. They were not going to get me on the hook, but I really did want to see if you guys are promising up front that you don't want to handle my retirement and you don't want me to buy a timeshare in Myrtle or in St. Augustine or wherever. What exactly are you pimping? And thank you, Redditors, because it was lovely to get the information.
Yeah. You could have also gone to Grok or ChatGPT.
Of course, I'm sure.
You got to embrace AI. You got to. Everyone else's embrace.
I have no adverse feeling about it.
I'm not asking about adverse feelings. I'm saying, when are you going to embrace it? Hug, Scott. Hug it.
Don't fight the monster. Hug the monster and fight the fear.
It's good. It's good as a informative tool. Like, for example, I was freaking out last week because I, like most men my age, keep a close eye on my prostate numbers, my PSA number. And I had gone in just for, a check-in with my doctor. The doctor wasn't there, so it was a nurse practitioner. And they did, just a blood
check. It was a guy with a cup near the water dispenser.
Right, exactly. And, my PSA was borderline. Mm-hmm. And like, well, we're going to recommend an MRI. And I kind of thought I thought I had an MRI for my prostate. I couldn't even remember what the hell it was for. It was for something inside my gooey, squishy guts. But because I am a catastrophizer and I have a vivid imagination, my mind ran wild based on just the overall tone and demeanor of this nurse practitioner who was just probably having one of those days, right? And she didn't have time to really answer all my neurotic questions. So then I get home and I start firing all this information in on past PSA numbers to Grok. And I actually found the first MRI. And thank God it came back super clean. No signs of clinically significant cancer. PI-RADS score of 1 or 2, which is the best you can have. Possible prostatitis, which could account for the slightly higher PSA numbers. And it explained how prostate cancer, this is all AI and Grok, it explained how prostate cancer is a spectrum. And that some people who are diagnosed with prostate cancer, they leave it in. And they just say, well, we're just going to keep an eye on it because it has a low Gleason score for being an aggressive cancer. And I was blown away. And I asked Grok, I go, so why, if it was cancer in my body, I would want it ripped out.
Please get it out of here. Right.
And what's the benefit? To death. Why not do that? And Grok handled it easily. It said, well, that's understandable, when it comes to cancer. But here's the deal. A lot of these surgeries have complications that come with it. And the current recommendation from the Prostate Cancer Society, whatever, is to actually be more conservative about it. And that sometimes, depending on the type of cancer, where it is, how it's spreading, blah, 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 it's better to just monitor until you need to do something. And I would have gotten none of that from this nurse practitioner. She didn't have the time. She was running people through on a Friday, just wanted to get home to the weekend. That's the benefit of, you know, AI. Now, I'm not going to hand over my whole care to AI.
Of course. Right. I'm not asking Dr. Google or, yeah, or
the AI. It's telling me to eat more fruit and vegetables, too. It's wrong on that. That's not happening, AI.
That can't be right, yeah, exactly.
That's more
right.
Water, less Diet Coke, and less cheesesteaks.
All right. It is time now for our main event. Joining us now, a man about film, Matt Miller. And you know, Matt, there's two phrases that always make the kids sound a lot cooler. Phrase number one is, you know, I like this band's old stuff a lot better. Phrase number two is, boy, the Super Bowl commercials really sucked this year. Are the cool kids right in 2026?
I'm calling it. I'm calling time of death this year for
no!
the Super Bowl as an ad, like... showcase.
No
and
way.
Frankly, it's been on hospice for a while. When was the last time there was like a really strong slate of Super Bowl ads that were memorable, that felt like they were doing something new and different? I think it's more reputation than reality at this point for these Super Bowl ads.
Wow, you're calling it this year. Was last year better? Was the year before that better?
No, I think it's been in hospice. I think it's been a slow decline, and I think we've just really clung to it. And this idea of like, oh yeah, you gotta stay through the commercials. They're so fun. They're so expensive. Ooh, what are we gonna see?
They have stars in them.
I think it's a combination of elements. It's the atmosphere around advertisements now, where we see so many of these ads a week beforehand because all of these advertisements want to be in the pre-Super Bowl articles about these are the ads you're going to see. So most of these commercials, when they come up during the Super Bowl, are old news. I mean, the Jurassic Park one, I think, might have been more fun if I hadn't seen it a week in advance, you know? I think one of the most effective commercials during the Super Bowl was The Adventures of Cliff Booth, the Brad Pitt Netflix movie, partially because I had no, and I'm a movie guy, had no idea that was coming, had absolutely no idea that trailer was in the works. And then that come out, it was like, everyone shut up. This is new. I didn't know this was happening.
Right. And then also, you didn't even have that title, like, they just cut to break. You had to go Google, what the hell is this movie with Brad Pitt? And it's
that
called what again?
That was a real heat check play. The Adventures of Cliff Booth. It is a sequel or a spinoff of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That's exactly what it looked like to me.
Exactly. It is written by Quentin Tarantino. It is directed by David fucking Fincher.
Oh, you had me at Tarantino. You had me at Tarantino. So
the whole movie is you had me. Like,
well,
it is one of those movies that when I saw the news that they were that was in the works, that movie, I was like, that's not going to happen. That is a Mad Libs of casting and crew. Like, that's
what if we did a prequel to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and we had Fincher and Tarantino on it? Who says no? And your answer was, in your dreams.
Reality says no. Like, it just feels like that's just not a thing that happens. And they not only are making it, they've got a whole trailer now to prove that it exists. So that was the kind of thing that I miss from the Super Bowl, is that, like, everyone shut up. Something interesting's happening on TV. And the world that we live in now, where they're trying to get weeks of coverage instead of the moment of the Super Bowl, means that things are a little less special now.
Yeah. I totally agree. And I think one phrase that sticks in my head from back in my days working at TPC Avenel, a high-end golf course that catered to corporate types and whatnot, we would get these training modules that would talk about, it is our job, our mission, they say, to not just meet the needs and satisfactions of our customers, but to exceed them. And there was a little nugget about delight and surprise. And that stuck with me. And that's sort of a marketing service type of thing. You want to delight and surprise people, like, oh, a fresh bowl of cherries in the lobby for me to snack on at this Four Seasons. I'm both surprised, I didn't expect that, and delighted because they're delicious. The Super Bowl ads used to have that element of delight and surprise, something very creative, high budget, and you didn't see it coming. with the pre-releases, you've seen it already. So when you see it again, you're like, eh, okay, fine. And that's too bad. Now, people ask me, and I want you to answer because I may have gotten it wrong, but they say, why do companies do this? And I say, because they want to capitalize on pre-Super Bowl publicity that is essentially free, viral, and other media talk about, hey, did you see this Xfinity ad? Is that
the reason? It's similar to how Christmas movies come out in November instead of on Christmas. And everyone's always like, why would they do that? And the thinking is, you release the movies when people are getting excited about Christmas, and you get a month or two of people going to see your movie in the Christmas spirit. And then when Christmas happens, the minute it is December 26th, no one gives a crap anymore about your movie.
Right.
And that is the thinking now with the Super Bowl ad world, is that, hey, we could have a month of people talking about our ad. We could have weeks of us being included in the roundups of ads that come out a week before the Super Bowl, and people are already talking about the winners and the trends of the Super Bowl ad breaks even before the Super Bowl even kicks off. And the result means that, hey, if you're one of these companies, I've been talking a lot more about Xfinity than I have in the past, thanks to that Jurassic Park ad. But it also means that when the actual $8 to $10 million ad plays during the Super Bowl, A, I've already seen it, so I'm tuning it out, and B, in a lot of cases, it is a shortened, crappier version of the longer ad, which is what happened, I think, with the Pringles ad from yesterday, the Sabrina Carpenter making her perfect man out of Pringles. Mm-hmm. The one during the Super Bowl was kind of, it was not really that funny, and it was kind of weird because I do not like commercials about people wanting to have sex with food. That's just something I don't really like. And the full commercial has some more funnier bits about, like, oh, she's on the kiss cam and she turns his head to kiss him and the head gets beheaded. And that's funny.
Right.
And there's a lot more jokes about, oh, her boyfriend is not sentient potato chips. That stuff's funnier to me, but those weren't in the actual Super Bowl ad. Those were in the ones where you had to go on YouTube afterwards and find the whole ad. And that sucks. I don't want to put in more work to watch more advertisements.
Well, true. You don't want to put in more work. I also, just being kind of quasi-anally retentive, I don't like there being multiple versions. I want one 100% version of the ad, because a lot goes into the creative vision of these things. Every shot, every joke, every line is pored over for months. What's going to be in, what's going to be out? So if you got three different versions, a short, a medium, a long, it sort of dilutes it. So
that happened with Instacart too, the ad with Ben Stiller and Benson Boone, where the Super Bowl ad kind of comes and goes. It's very authentically directed. It's directed by Spike Jonze, who did Her and Being John Malkovich, like, famous director. But there's a longer 2-minute commercial that's significantly funnier because it lets the kind of joke play out about Ben Stiller trying to do a backflip and totally biffing it over and over again. And it's like, yeah, that's a funny 2-minute bit right there.
Sure.
When you cram it down and remove the timing and remove the setup into a 30-second clip, it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And I kind of didn't register it at all during the game.
All right, let's watch some commercials together. I'm going to start with the Jurassic Park ad, and this is the full cut, I assume, the minute 45 extended.
It's like a full Jurassic Park trailer.
I think this was brilliant because of the whole, hey, if they just had better Wi-Fi, then the place would have been this awesome resort. And to envision what a pool would look like, a luxury pool instead of a hellscape.
I do think that commercial passes the important test of, do people remember the product? Because the Instacart one, I didn't remember that was an Instacart ad. But I think the Xfinity commercial does a very good job of tying the premise of the product in with Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
There's just one problem with the ad, and it's the de-aged Sam Neill looks absolutely terrifying.
Okay, let's start. By the way, Laura Dern looks great de-aged. Now, is this all...
That might just be Laura Dern.
I sincerely doubt it. Age comes for everyone, including those with good bones. Who in the ad is not still alive?
I think everybody's still alive in the refilmed parts of the ads. I think the only guy that I think Attenborough might be
really
passed on.
So,
but I don't think they refilmed his part.
Guys, are all these actors actually, is this actually filmed with heavy makeup?
It's definitely de-aging, especially when they do the shot of them looking at the dinosaurs in the river.
So it's AI, then, the de-aging.
I don't know if it's AI, like that shot of Sam Neill on the hillside.
I can tell in his face that's synthetic.
He looks like Mr. Potato Head.
Well, he looks
like they took like eyes and a nose and a mouth and kind of cobbled them onto a dummy face.
It's that's right.
A creepy look.
I'll show you.
Great smash cut to a song, Pina. If you like Pina Coladas,
and it's a good bit. It's a good bit. This ad,
and then the tile work of the dinosaur inside the giant resort pool.
Soft script made me feel 33 years younger.
33 years younger. Get it?
Oh, thank you, Grace. Yes, Wi-Fi finds a way.
Great line.
I'll take it. My arms are longer. To the roar again.
I don't think that the "I'll take it, my arms are longer" joke, which I appreciate, since that's the one thing that T-Rexes get clowned for all the time, their short little arms, their ineffective little arms. I don't think that line made it into the Super Bowl one. I think this is part of the extended cut. That's a great fucking line. I'll take it, my arms are longer.
One big pile of shrimp.
Mr. Hammond, after careful consideration, I've decided to happily endorse your park.
A whole new species of Wi-Fi at the same price for 5 years.
Hey, little guy. Nope.
Brilliantly done.
Weird choice to end the ad on the Xfinity guy probably getting murdered by a raptor, but whatever.
Was that a raptor or is that a different dinosaur?
It's like a diplosaurus like that, but it's in the raptor world. It's going to eat that guy.
Right. How fluent are you in Jurassic Parkese?
I mean, 25 years ago, Matt would have known that dinosaur on a drop of a hat. I was a big dinosaur kid. Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Yeah. You know who's missing from the ad, though, right?
Samuel L. Jackson.
Well, he was in there early.
I think that is the original Jurassic Park footage. I don't think that's, like, altered or de-aged or anything.
Really?
I think that is just... old, I think that's 1994, 1993, Samuel Jackson.
Do they have to pay him money for that?
They might have had to pay Universal money for that. I don't entirely
Do you think Sam Jackson
know the
was
nuances
not in it?
Of licensing.
Okay, how is it that Samuel L. Jackson, who says yes to every project under the motherfucking sun, and that's his favorite word, how do you think he said no to this?
I think they probably didn't pay him enough. I think Samuel Jackson is a real, like...
son of a bitch.
He's
like,
right, I'll show up. Okay. I've seen Jumper. I've seen that man. He will take any paycheck.
Okay, so the guy that's missing, though, is Wayne Knight from Seinfeld. Newman.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Newman was the sweaty, doughy, easy snack for the dinosaurs?
Who gets killed by the Diplosaurus or whatever it is. The spitty one.
Yes. So there was that. Next up, one of my favorites.
He was in a movie recently. Wayne Knight was in the Five Nights at Freddy's movie that came out last year. And I truly jaw-dropped. I was like, Wayne Knight, still around.
Did
Good for you, Wayne.
Did he stretch his acting chops to impress you?
He was very much doing the Wayne Knight.
He was doing
kind of insufferable and then getting murdered.
Okay. Go with your strong suit, right? Go with what you know. So I really thought that was a great commercial. I think had it not been pre-released, it would have surprised and delighted and probably would have won the vaunted USA Today ad meter because it had stars, it had a movie that everyone knows, an interesting twist of, oh, wow, yeah, it would have been a great resort if they had better Wi-Fi and the stupid cages didn't open. And it centered the product of better Wi-Fi onto your memory bank. So I think it would have been a home run. but okay.
Agreed. Agreed. All right.
Next one that I liked a lot. The Living on a Prayer State Farm commercial. This got sort of pre-leaked. The whole commercial did not come out early, but there was a teaser for it, and I was already excited for it because anything with, you know, my boy, Eastbound and Down, Kenny Powers, McBride. I'm a fan of.
Right? Why barely?
You get what you pay for.
Our bike coverage leaves out a lot.
I don't have a bike.
Can we just get some momentum on the song?
Oh, I'm going.
This damage to your home on this block. We won't make things right, because filing a claim is tough.
Can't I just do it in an app or call an agent?
No luck. Here comes the best part.
Should have gone with State Farm.
Need a lift?
Yep.
Stop living on a prayer and get State Farm.
Okay, I love so much about this. First of all, Keegan-Michael Key, as well as, not Kenny Powers. Who's the actor who plays Kenny Powers?
Danny McBride.
Danny McBride. Love both those guys. I am a sucker, as you know, Matt, from working with me in radio. Anytime a popular song gets new lyrics, spoof lyrics. Oh, love it so much. That is my
catnip. You love a Weird Al.
Exactly. That's what growing up, you know, my adolescence of listening to Weird Al Yankovic, loves the fake lyric songs. So there's that part of it, but I just love the whole thing. And then the cameos, or the cameo at the end of Bon Jovi himself. I thought it was very well done. Any thoughts on it?
It wasn't. It is one of those ads for me that I want it
before
to be
the movie.
Funnier.
A much better.
I like all of the elements and the people in it, and okay. I just don't laugh as much as I want to. Okay. And I do think it has the problem that several Super Bowl ads have, which is they clearly spend a lot of money to bring in celebrities and to bring in famous faces, and they don't spend as much time thinking of them, giving them funny things to say. And funny things to do.
Okay.
And so, like, you kind of, it just kind of washes over you instead of actually delivering a good bit.
All right. I also like
that. But I wasn't offended by that.
I like that they did not auto-tune the bad singing from both McBride and Keegan-Michael Key.
Also, Haley Steinfeld in there. Shout out Haley Steinfeld.
Shout out. Yeah. Lovely gal.
Mrs. Josh Allen.
She looked quite fine. Okay. Next up. And I really like this one. It was contentious on the group chat because it used a lot of de-aging / AI modification of faces, but the Dunkin' Donuts, Goodwill Dunkin', what's the best phrase for this? The Goodwill
spoof? Alternate
mashup,
universe?
Spoof, mashup, alt universe. This is the 2:21 length version.
That's much better version of Goodwill Hunting. It was made as a sitcom with a real genius in the lead and some other actors.
Love the great theme and the great sort of stylistic open.
Will is loyal. Will is kind. Will is special. Will's got math on.
So the reason this is 2 minutes is it includes the full 80s style sitcom open. 80s sitcoms and TV shows would open with 30 or even 60 second opening themes.
Oh yeah, I was alive for Full House. Don't I?
Okay, sorry. I'm sorry to.
I will say sorry this to old explain it to you. Has a problem where its idea is already so complicated and convoluted, where it's like. You liked Goodwill Hunting, but Ben Affleck actually made Goodwill Hunting in the 80s / early 90s, but it was a sitcom. And also Joey and all these 90s people were also in it. It's a kind of confusing ad.
That is true.
To break down the logic of
as it's coming at you and you're seeing it for the first time like I did. My mind was spinning going, wait, okay, what's going on here now? Here's Ben Affleck, Goodwill Hunting. But no, there's Friends, and there's Costanza, and there is Alphonse Ribeiro. What?
Yeah.
What
Tom
is going
Brady's
on here?
Tom Brady's
going
to show up, but why would Tom Brady be there? Because Tom Brady wasn't a thing in the 90s.
Yeah,
so like, why would this reference mean anything?
That's a fair point. I saw this recently. I meant to ask you about it. Somebody said, somebody asked, why did these old TV shows have long intros, 30 seconds, 60 seconds? Do you know what the answer was from somebody who claimed to know the answer?
I imagine it was, A, partly that was just how it was done.
The style.
Yeah, it was the style.
But I there was a specific
reason.
The more reason.
Interesting question is why they got rid of them, and partly that was because the TV networks didn't want to delay people getting into the show and switching on to something else, so they were like, screw the intros, get to the show.
The reason, as it was claimed, is it allowed people to get their shit together, get their drink, get their coffee, and get into their seats, because we lived in a strictly linear world. Where you didn't have VCRs or DVRs. So the show's on. You know, you hear the theme to Chips and you need to get some John Poncherella, you better fucking get in your chair right now, because they're probably opening with a killer chase, right?
Did I get
John Poncherella right?
I like a mood
right?
setter too.
Well,
like,
sure.
People who skip the intros to HBO shows with the really good intros, I don't understand those people. Like, I like sitting there for 90 seconds and just kind of letting the opening credits kind of, you know, get me into the mind space of watching the show.
Yeah, let's see. Officer Frank Llewellyn Poncherello. So he would just go by Ponch. That was Eric Estrada with Officer Jonathan Andrew Baker, or John. Ponch was the more trouble-prone of the pair. John was generally the more level-headed one, trying to keep him out of trouble with the duo's gruff but fatherly immediate supervisor, Sergeant Joseph Grader. Robert
Pine. What a show
Pine.
That existed.
Fucking
what a time.
They
made a movie. They made a Chips movie in the last 10 years. Nobody remembers it exists.
Yeah. Okay. Back to the long version of the Dunkin' Donuts Friends ad. Jennifer Aniston. Ted Danson was a bit of a surprise cameo. So that's another element that you're wondering about. Like, wait, now it's not just Friends, it's also Cheers.
It's also Cheers. It's also Family Matters, which Cheers was a completely different era.
All right, that's a minute 10 open.
Hard to believe that they didn't air all of this during the Super Bowl.
Fibonacci sequence? I got a genius working for me.
Who's such a genius, then why'd he put ice in his coffee, huh?
Come on, Chucky, I'm just Will Hunting. I'm not a genius.
I will marry the first man that can help me with the Fibonacci sequence.
How you doing? Smoothly.
Don't you have a girlfriend?
We're on a break! I don't need her. I still got everything I need right here at Dunkin'.
Hey, kid, if you're still single doing this Boston shtick and working for Dunkin' when you're 50, I'm gonna be very disappointed.
Isn't that your girlfriend? You like donuts?
Yeah.
Well, this is my new boyfriend. How do you like these nuts?
These nuts.
I'm fine.
Goodwill Dunkin'.
No, no, no. Half of that ad was the opening credits. Like, that's
well, you know,
a misuse of your time.
Well, okay, so the ad agency had a budget, right? And they
and the credit at the end says Artists' Equity, which is Ben Affleck and Matt Damon's like shingle, their production company. Okay. So like, they really put some real time and effort into this 2:30, you know, spoof commercial. That's not a good use of your time or money, guys. You could have made a whole nother The Rip with that.
And I guess the whole question would be, so what was the point of it? What was the central joke of it?
And it didn't involve donuts, which is a problem if I'm Dunkin' Donuts.
That's true, unless you want the Fibonacci sequence, which I don't even know what that is. I kind of know the shape that they were arranged in.
Yeah, it looked like a tidal wave. I didn't get Fibonacci.
Now I'm going to have to Google Fibonacci sequence because I have no idea what that is. Okay, next up, let's talk about the Budweiser ad with the eagle and the horsey, shall we?
Yes.
A young colt, a tiny eagle in a fallen tree, falls out. Of course, Freebird, always a good choice. Now, is this some AI slop here with the tiny bird?
I don't believe so. I believe this is just actual CGI. I haven't seen anywhere that it was AI, but there is a, I mean, now in these day and this day and age...
Oh, that's fascinating. How would one know between CGI slop and AI slop?
It can be tough, and the line is very blurred these days. But I believe, and normally part of it is if you used AI, a lot of these organizations, these companies, whatever, they like to brag that they used AI because they want to be like, look, you probably didn't even realize it was AI. And then everyone watching was like, yes, we absolutely knew it was AI.
Yeah. This is why a stick of RAM right now costs $900 because of fucking AI. You can't even get it. So, that whatever that is, it's definitely not a real eaglet. And this horse...
No, I don't think they trained a small baby bird to be this good of an actor, Zabe. I don't think they got a real Clydesdale pony to stand above a baby eagle on the first date.
Okay. You could get a real Clydesdale. I don't know if animal protection laws would allow you to snatch an eaglet and throw it in the mud and let it get rained on. And I would assume its eagle mommy would come down and try to claw your eyes out.
Back in the 1950s, they might have tried to do it. In the olden days of no animal protection sunsets.
Where's the derelict bald eagle mom to go take care of her little chicklet? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the other thing about this ad is any eaglet that falls like that and is unprotected would be eaten by a raccoon in about 6 minutes flat. There are so many country varmints that are looking for an easy meal.
Zabe absolutely trying to ruin this advertisement by being like, A, this eaglet has a deadbeat parent, and B, it'd be dead eaten by a raccoon.
Not sure the Dalmatian was real either.
This is all very CGI.
I think the two farmers are real. Now that shot is awesome, where it looks as if the horse itself has grown wings.
It looks like the TriStar studio logo. Like it looks like a Pegasus.
It does look like a Pegasus. And instead, it's the spreading wings of a fully grown eagle who has been raised and protected by the Budweiser Clydesdale.
You crying?
Sun's in my eyes.
Sun's in my eyes. And
I'm generally not an emotional commercial guy. Like, I'm very much don't try to make me feel emotions. Sell me your product. Like, don't try to make me tear up about Rocket Mortgage. Okay. How dare you? I think this commercial's does a good job.
Now, it's not included in the clip that I just showed you there, but what I did love, though, was that they cut to a live Clydesdale with a live bald eagle in the stadium, in the bowels of the stadium, I believe.
Oh, really?
In the game. You were at a party at the time. I was, by the way, I was texting Matt Miller the entire game. Every commercial, quick couple notes. Your phone was blowing up. I apologize. It was going to be my only way to keep track of this stuff.
I was very appreciative of you, and I was trying to like the commercials that I was most intrigued by. By the way, I was at the wildest Super Bowl party. Not wild in terms of activity, but I think I texted you, a minute before the Super Bowl, they were still watching the Waste Management Open.
and you were about to lose your mind.
I was rude. I was actively rude at the party, being like, why are you guys, why are we watching this? Why are we watching golf on Super Bowl Sunday? What are we doing right now?
Yeah. Let's see. The commercial into a live shot. I want to find out where the live shot was.
It might have been a pre-record.
Like it might have been, yeah.
I can't imagine at the Super Bowl they had the clearance to be like, we need a Clydesdale and an eagle.
And we gotta position them at the mouth of one of the entrances near the
football.
They
got enough stuff going on at the Super Bowl to never bring a horse and an eagle into the operation. Like, they had enough stuff going on.
Okay, you say you don't want to be emotionally manipulated during commercials.
I don't want them to pretend they're Spielberg or, you know, Casablanca here. You're selling me potato chips, you know, leave me alone.
Well, here's the ad I'm sure you fucking hate. It's the daughter who is bequeathed.
Might be time to hang it up.
The precious potato farm.
How about one last time together?
Okay, kiddo.
I walked across.
There they are, in the dirty rows of potato furrows.
A twinkly acoustic cover of an emotional song.
What song is this, by the way?
Somewhere we both know, I think.
I got one!
One more thing.
Your farm now.
So why don't we go somewhere only we know?
We did it. We made some mediocre potato chips.
Okay. I have a hard time believing, Matt Miller, that a woman that lovely looking would want to be a fucking potato farmer. I just do. It may be the dirt, may be in her fingernails.
She's got spuds in her veins, man.
I have a hard time believing that a woman that clean, like typically a woman who grew up on a potato farm, man, she could tip a canoe by just standing on it. She would be a hardy woman who doesn't wear makeup and wears plaid all the time. Not someone who looked like this actress.
I do. What I think is interesting about that ad is I saw, I believe, like an article like a month or two ago that was talking about how a majority of Americans don't believe that there are potatoes, like that Lay's potato chips are made of potatoes.
Really?
That like a large part of people are like, what are potato chips made out of? We don't know. And you can tell Lay's is like really trying hard to be like, we have to remind people that potatoes are involved in this. We're right. Not all Pringles. We got to show them that potatoes are involved and that people farm potatoes. So it was hard for me not to watch that ad and think about Lay's just panickedly trying to remind people that the number one product in potato chips is hopefully potato.
Right. Who is Lay's number one rival to spend like this?
Ooh.
In the potato chip wars,
if probably
you will.
A chip company that is owned by Yum Brands already. Like, I mean, I'm an Old Dutch potato chip man. Old Dutch is the cream of the crop out there for me.
Okay.
It's probably like a Cheeto or like an Frito-Lay, alternative salty snack.
Frito-Lay is part of Pepsi. Pringles are part of Kellogg. You got Utz Brands. Oh, that's right. Don't forget about the big U. Utz Brands.
Utz is quite good, too.
Campbell Soup owns Cape Cod. Good potato chip, by the way.
Mm. Who makes Kettle? Who makes the fancy Kettle Cook chip?
It says key and regional brands and key regional and national brands include Ruffles, Lay's, Pringles, Kettle Brand, Hers, Wise, and Zapp's.
No Old Dutch reference?
Don't.
Come on.
Here Focus. It is. Old Dutch Midwest, Hers, and Zapp's are in Louisiana. The Zapp's Voodoo flavor potato chips, you ever had them?
I don't know.
With the New Orleans style bag, it's sort of a combination between spicy and sweet. Oh, you have not lived till you've had that.
Is that like a fully loaded, or like what's the Canadian type that's starting to come out here? All Dressed? Is it like that?
What did I say it was? Zapp's Voodoo?
You said Voodoo, because there's the All Dressed that's like sour cream and onion and barbecue and I think ketchup all on one chip flavor.
Really?
And it actually is rather tasty. It is a true flavor explosion.
Okay, here it is right here. Look for it in your grocer's potato chip aisle. Zapp's Voodoo New Orleans Kettle Style.
I would eat that.
Trust me, you'd eat the shit out of this because it's a very addictive combination flavor. It says it is, let me get the zoom up here. What do they call the taste of it? It's like...
it's voodoo flavored. Come on, Zabe. It's like blue raspberry.
It's not a real thing.
It's what you imagine voodoo tastes like.
God damn it. This is now driving me crazy. I'm like trying to figure out what is the supposed damn flavor of a voodoo chip? I know I'm going to get a million emails now and have to say, all right, thanks.
You don't want to Google what does voodoo taste like and get the deranged Google responses you'll get from that?
All right. Well, let me do it right here. What is the flavor of Zapp's voodoo chips? It comes right up. Tangy salt and vinegar with a smoky sweet barbecue taste, finished with a subtle spicy jalapeno kick.
Ooh, see that it sounded like the All Dressed there, but then you added the jalapeno, and that is a fun twist. I'm gonna eat the hell out of that.
It's a popular Cajun-inspired snack known for its savory, tangy, and slightly sweet All Dressed style. Yeah, you got a lot going on. Lot going on in there. Tangy salt, vinegar, smoky but sweet barbecue, and a little bit of jalapeno. I'm only a kettle guy now. I don't eat regular chips. I want sturdier, crunchier chips. Just me.
You want protein chips.
You want
a chip that has gone to the gym and is sturdy.
Yeah. Okay. Here's one that I liked a lot. It was the Take a Look at Your Pee commercial for Liquid IV. You didn't like this one?
Big Super Bowl, by the way, for butts and pee. Like, there were a lot of butts, and then you had Liquid IV being like, hey, check out your urine.
Oh, this is some...
A minute and 41.
Here we go.
Ooh, you're the only one who really knew me at all.
Singing toilets. Any potty humor. Notice how they match the echo of each room.
It's impressive audio.
By the way, did you notice that? It's all toilets, urinals, other places for pee-pee, except they add in a shower drain.
You never pee in the showers, Zabe?
No, that's what's funny, though. It's a shower drain that looks like a face.
Where's catheter representation in this commercial? That's what I want to know.
I didn't even think twice about it. Oh, right, yeah, people do pee in the shower. Outhouse. You ever shit in an outhouse? Just sidebar.
I think I did a lot, like when I was like a little in.
And I'm talking about a genuine old school wooden clattering door walk out to the side of the woods outhouse. Not a porta potty.
No, not a porta potty. I think when I was real little, like 8 or 9, we went camping and they had like an outhouse situation. And let me tell you, I haven't really gone camping since.
I got to imagine be terrified. Because there's just an empty space. See, I like it because it smash cut ends to reveal why were these toilets singing Take a Look at Me Now with the graphic on the screen, Take a Look at Your Pee, If it's yellow, you're dehydrated. Here's the product to keep you from being dehydrated.
It's great medical advice. However, Zabe, they are trying to sell me a drink with pee. And I just don't think I mentally, like, my brain doesn't think, you know, oh, wow, look at all this urine and toilets. That makes me thirsty. I gotta drink whatever this ad is talking about. Like, that's just not where my brain goes. I think if it was an ad for, like, urinary health, I think maybe it would make more sense. But, yeah, I don't make the leap to make sure your pee is the right color. Drink liquid IV.
All right, this is an ad I really did not care for. Redfin. Ooh. And Rocket Mortgage. And I know what they were trying to go for, which is, hey, be a good neighbor. But I'm going to tell you what I didn't like about it. It's a beautiful day for a neighbor. Okay, so beautiful day for a neighbor. Two families that are having to move into a new neighborhood. A what looks like a Hispanic family, or at least a mixed race family. Would you
be mine? I know it's hard.
And then the white family with the mom having to preside over her daughter putting shit into mom's box and dad's box.
Got some issues with the sad.
Well, I assume that means divorce, right?
It seems like that's the vibe, which is not what I'm trying to think about while I'm watching the Super Bowl.
Right. Okay. And what kind of shitty mom makes her daughter sort this stuff out?
That's what this is all. They've already within 10 seconds made me think too hard about the logic of this ad.
But you'll still see dad.
So here's the new girl with her dog in the new neighborhood trying to make friends, waving to some kids on bikes. First of all, wholly unrealistic in 2026. There's no stray kids in neighborhoods riding bikes, Matt Miller. This shit ended in 92, okay?
They're on scooters now.
No, they're not even outside. They're indoors on their phones, for God's sakes. But okay, I'll go along with it. So you hear some comments about her. You know, she's a sweet little girl with kind of big ears. You could see how she might get teased a bit.
Wearing an ugly sweater.
Ugly sweater. And then the Hispanic girl, also new to the neighborhood, is just trying to skateboard responsibly with her helmet.
Good on her.
And the white girl's dog goes all racist and starts barking at her. And the look of indignance. I mean, okay. Like, the look of indignance on that girl, the Hispanic girl, that's bullshit. I don't, you know, America is not that racially broken. Kids of that age, if they saw an adorable dog like this, would A, understand they tend to bark when they're excited or they see new people, and B, you go right up to the dog and go, oh, who's this? You don't give a look like, oh, got a racist dog I see.
Yeah, but she's wearing an ugly sweater. Did you think about that part? Could
you be? And of course, she felt bad, like, oh, okay. So here's the dad talking to the neighbor next door about a storm coming in.
Big storm coming in.
And the old white crotchety racist doesn't even give him the time of day. Fuck.
I'm coming in.
I have always wanted to. And you know, the mixed race minority, it looks like, just kind of shrugs it off, like, okay, he's going to be a tough nut to crack, that racist next door. But by golly, I'm going to give it a shot because we're living here. Dog escapes, tree limbs are down. It was a bad storm, all right. And of course, the Hispanic girl finds the dog and delivers her to the girl. And a big understanding hug ensues. Racial harmony. The world is healing.
America's fixed.
But then this part killed me. So I'm coming around in this commercial going, all right, it's coming around. Like, me with daughters and a dog, the way that young actress portrayed the emotions, raw emotions of losing her dog and finding her dog. Oh my God, that did hit me right here, okay? But then there's this. So then the mixed race dad helps out with a chainsaw to go help the racist old coot next door. And the best the racist old coot can muster is a half smile. Like, yeah, get to work, buddy.
Good on you.
Why?
This is
why,
I'm like, just sell
Miller?
Me the mortgage. Don't try to make me feel things, because I'm just gonna make fun of your ad. Sorry.
Like, I just feel like if you're gonna traffic in some serious racial stereotypes, maybe just make the races equal. You know, make it white guy asshole neighbor on white guy asshole neighbor. It'd be nice. That's all I'm saying. We don't need to stoke these things. You know. Or
and all of this for Rocket Mortgage. I don't know, man. Like, a mortgage is not something I'm, like, thrilled to have. Like, I don't want to think about Redfin and Rocket Mortgage. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, but Redfin helped out when, you know, you had to put dad shit in his box and mom shit in her box.
When the mom was forcing their daughter to divide their things amongst the parents. At least the dog was cute. Shame about the sweaters.
Yeah, you don't need a box for dad shit in the divorce. You just need a bag for his underwear, because that's all he's taken out of the divorce.
Again, I just want a whole subplot. Our brains are not thinking about mortgage payments and all that stuff. Our brains are thinking like, oh man, did that dad cheat on her? Like, is this a deadbeat? Like, what happened to this marital situation? Like, was her dad the guy at the Coldplay concert? Unacceptable.
Oh,
like,
my God.
What a ridiculous commercial.
All right,
again, make me laugh and then tell me to buy your product.
We've gone a long time here as I look at the clock. I want to give you two commercials you want to talk about, and I will hustle them up right now to discuss. What do you want?
All right. I liked the Guy Fieri commercial.
Okay.
The Bosch dishwasher, just a guy. Guy Fieri. I thought that was a funny premise. That was a smart use of their celebrity, you know, cameo. I thought genuinely I almost wish they hadn't done the Super Bowl teaser commercials. I had seen a bunch of those where it was like Guy Fieri getting ready and a person with the Clippers. And I wish the commercial had just started with this seemingly Griffin-looking guy who turns out to be Guy Fieri. That would have been a really fun twist.
Is this really Guy Fieri, or is it also digital manipulation?
Again, very.
I'm just a guy. When I use my Bosch appliances, I feel like more than just a guy.
I think it's makeup.
I feel like Guy. Same goes for these Bosch power tools here. Just a guy. Guy.
Bosch.
Just a guy. Guy. Just a guy.
First of all, it blows my mind that Bosch makes both dishwashers, a very female-oriented appliance, as well as power tools.
You get the impression this was an effective ad, because that was the first thing somebody said to me at the Super Bowl party, was someone being like, I didn't realize Bosch made power tools. Congratulations, Bosch. You did a good job.
Phenomenal appliances.
And powerful ballot tools.
Thought you only spoke French.
The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a
Bosch.
Bosch.
Here's something I will say about this ad, though. And I think this is a part of the reason why Super Bowl ads feel worse now than they did 10 years ago, and definitely even going further back, is even though they've gotten more expensive with more famous celebrities and, you know, these massive budgets and all this stuff, they look worse, because even in that ad, Guy Fieri is clearly not on those sets. And that's the case with the Dunkin' ad too. That's the case with the State Farm ad. All these people are clearly digitally placed in a lot of these commercials, if they're not de-aged or AI'd or something like that. So the result is, even if you have this expensive ad with a big celebrity, or, you know, you spent a lot of money on this concept, it looks crappy. It looks like a bad, you know, Disney Plus TV show slop. And I think that makes us look at these with a more skill. Like, that commercial would be a lot funnier and a lot better if they paid the money to actually put Guy Fieri on a realistic looking construction set, you know?
And maybe don't use digital airbrushing of his face and hair, and commit to the physical makeup portion of it and accept that it won't look as good as you think, but it'll be real. The real mm-hmm. will be better than the artificially taking him back further in time or to make him a regular generic suburban house dad.
Again, that Jurassic Park commercial would 100% be my winner of the Super Bowl if they didn't do creepy de-aging on Sam Neill that made him look like a Mr. Potato Head. Like, that is it, but it's probably a lot cheaper to do CGI, probably takes a little bit less manpower, and frankly, it's easier to film because you can just, you know, stitch it up in post versus hire a makeup artist to do a good makeup job.
All right, one more, and I apologize, listeners, for the ads auto-starting on YouTube. I've got 25 tabs up right now to try to be able to play them through the software and everything else, so you heard a little burst there. I know I'm going to get an email. Oh, that was so distracting. I'm very sorry. I'll do better next time. Last ad, and then we'll put it to bed.
For me?
Yes. You get one more to talk about.
All right. I'm trying to think of my, you know, I just want to talk about it a little bit. The Mike Tyson Maha Mad.
Eat real food.
Which is a perfectly fine message. I have no problem with telling people like, hey, processed food's not the best. Eat healthy. That's a good. The
was
idea
this a Robert
of
F. Kennedy?
Mike
was this,
Tyson.
I was going to say, so this was Robert F. Kennedy's government money.
It was basically like it? a food.org. Like it was like a the new food pyramid.
So
kind
it was
of
paid
ad.
For by the government. Eat real food.
Yes.
Okay.
The idea of using Mike Tyson as your beacon of healthy living and lifestyles, a man most famous for eating another man's ear and for making bad life choices, talking about how he doesn't like looking
my
at fudgy
name
people.
Was the knee.
Well, which maybe he said pudgy, but with the Mike Tyson lisp, sounded like fudgy, which is a weird way of thing to call somebody. It was just like, add you screwed up. Sorry, you made a whoops.
You made a processed food kills. He's talking about his family. Take a listen.
Sister name was Denise. She died of obesity at 25. She had a heart attack. I was so fat and nasty. I would eat anything. I was like 345 pounds. A quart of ice cream every hour. I had so much self hate when I was like that. I just wanted to kill myself.
Was he really 300 pounds before he met Customato and became a champion prize fighter?
I don't remember. I've
never seen a
50.
Photo of 300-pound Mike Tyson.
Again, we are thinking too hard, and when your ad forces you to like make these mental gymnastics to get to the point, your ad has failed. Your ad has lost me.
I'm also too close to Mike Tyson's face virtually here, and it's unnerving to me.
It also has that. Like, I wonder how much de-aging and how much kind of, you know, CG powdering happens here, because it looks
black and white.
He looks kind of AI.
The ice cream every hour. I had so much self-hate when I was like that. I just wanted to kill myself.
See, now we're looking for it everywhere. Was that tear AI that rolls down his cheek? Right. Oh, no. No, I missed it right
just
there.
Just eating healthy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what is this tear? You can barely see the tattoo, by the way, on the left side of his face, at least in this. There.
Because they don't want you to think about Mike Tyson's bad choices in this commercial about making good choices. Such a strange combination, man.
I'm Mike Tyson. Make good choices. Okay. That tear might be CGI. Who knows?
I wanted to kill myself. We're the most powerful country in the world, and we have the most obese, fudgy people. Something has to be done about processed food in this country.
Who's that with him, by the way?
I have no idea who that person is, but I'm glad they're eating healthy. You know, good on them.
And that
fudgy people is such a weird phrase.
And we have the most obese, fudgy people. Something has to be done about processed food in this country, and we have the most obese, fudgy people.
Fudgy people.
The commercial makes a mistake, because when he says fudgy people, my brain immediately thinks, oh man, fudge would be really good right now.
It has to be done by processed food in this country.
2 seconds, some other dude, don't know who he is, biting into an apple, probably got a nice paycheck. Paid for by Maha Center Incorporated. Well, that doesn't go well with the potato chip ads that we were just treated to, as well as the gummy juicy nerds ad with Andy Cohen, which somebody pointed out, you know, the target demo for that candy is like age 8 to 16, and Andy Cohen is about a 55-year-old dude that nobody knows, basically, except us in the biz.
Yeah, it's a weird choice. And also, the mascot makes me think of the Kool-Aid Man.
Yeah.
Which, like, it's not good when your mascot makes me think of another product. Yeah. There were a lot of just, like, questions. Like, the Emma Stone Squarespace commercial, which, like, they got Yorgos Lanthimos, Oscar nominee Yorgos Lanthimos, to direct that ad for no reason. Like, and an ineffective ad. And I'm sure it was expensive to make. And he did two ads for the Super Bowl this year. Neither of them did anything for me. And it's like, why are we wasting our time spending these massive budgets on commercials that don't have an impact?
Yeah. I did like the fact that, what I didn't understand about that ad, not that I liked it, I didn't understand what the point was. She kept checking the domain and it was taken. Did she expect it to suddenly be not taken? Did she think that if she was given a different laptop by her servant person in her mansion, that she would suddenly, oh, this computer has emmastone.com? Does she not have a web person to secure the domain without her help? Why do you
need
to do this
yourself? Did I miss the part in the ad where Squarespace helps her find the domain name? Because I remember the commercial ending with her just still being mad about her computers.
Right. Nobody's going to go to emmastone.com. And it had such high artistic value with the dramatic lighting.
Yeah.
And the colors and
the shadows.
It
looked like a Yorgos Lanthimos movie.
Well, I don't know who that is. Who's Yorgos Lanthimos?
So he directed Begonia, which is the crazy Emma Stone, Jesse Plemons movie. It's a Best Picture nominee. It's crazy. He did The Favorite. He did Poor Things, which won a bunch of Oscars a few years ago. He's a good director. Why he bothered making an ineffective Super Bowl ad blows my mind. But yeah, I think I'm reaching the point, I will say, this is anecdotal, at our Super Bowl party, people were not really that checked in on the ads. Like, okay. I was watching because I knew we were going to be talking today, but I think a lot of people were like, it was white noise. And that tells me when everyday people are kind of checking out on this stuff, this kind of seems like a thing that just exists for, you know, ad executives to talk about in ad magazines. Yeah.
So I'll leave you on this. You mentioned the Yorgos Anthimos guy.
Yes.
And that weird ad. It reminded me of The Simpsons when Homer decides to get into the snowplow business. And he goes to McMahon and Tate ad agency for his ad. And it was the most just the biggest what ever for an ad.
Mr. Simpson, I guarantee you, we'll come up with a commercial that can save your business. You know those radio ads where two people with annoying voices yammer back and forth? I invented those. Ow! It happens all the time.
Is that your commercial?
I don't know.
Years later, that is exactly how perfume commercials still are. Just like weird footage, and then they're like Versace. And I'm like, that was for smell good juice? What are we doing here?
Right. But then the best commercial was the simple one with a catchy, cheesy jingle that you can't forget. Mr. Plow.
Look, there we are!
It may be on a lousy channel, but The Simpsons are on TV.
Our driveway snowed in!
Old Man Winter!
That's right! I fill your driveways with ice and snow! What are you gonna do about it? Nothing! That's what! Stop!
Mr. Plow!
Get out, you lousy... season? All right, I'm going. My head hurts. I have to lie down for a while.
Yay!
Hello, I'm Mr. Plow. Are you tired of having your hands cut off by snowblowers and the inevitable heart attacks that come with shoveling snow?
Uh-huh.
Then call Klondike 5-3226. Call now and receive a free t-shirt. He could still surprise you.
Stockdale,
but I'm a real tightwad. Can I afford this remarkable system?
Absolutely. My prices are so low, you'll think I've suffered brain damage.
You are fully bonded and licensed by the city, aren't you, Mr. Plow?
Shut up, boy. So remember, call Mr. Plow. That's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow.
And that was the commercial that sent Homer on his way, because it worked, as cheesy, as awkward as it was, right?
There's a lesson here.
There is a lesson here for sure. Okay, as always, Matt Miller, a joy and a pleasure, my friend. Good to reconnect, and we will talk to you next time down the road. Remember, his Substack is A Man About Film, and there are good, interesting movies coming out. So next visit here, we will talk movies, I promise.
Shelter, starring Jason Statham. It's a really fun time.
We're going to call that enough today. College basketball taking center stage. Now we've got just under 2 glorious months to fully embrace it. And you can come join me and a merry band of Zabecast friends and family to come on and watch some basketball. MGM Grand Sweet 16 weekend, Thursday, Friday, the 26th and 27th. Papa Shot contest, commemorative hats, trip to the Vegas sign, nightclub afterwards. It's going to be a blast. For more details on how to get in and secure your spot, email me at zabe@yahoo.com. Don't make me spell it. Okay, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And we will see you there in March. Arizona is rolling. We got Michigan, Houston, Duke, Iowa State all in the mix. Kansas, UConn, Michigan State are good. Carolina, Gonzaga still there.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. BYU has the number one pick in the draft, they think, in A.J. Dibansta. And don't look now, but Kentucky is on the move and in the top 25 after a very slow start. Thank you so much for listening. Please leave a comment, rate, and review on your podcast platform of choice. It awakens the primal urges of the algorithm that we all live under and helps me grow this podcast audience. Have yourself a great day, and we will see you next time!